Heavenly Father, we pause at this time that we would ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would open our hearts and our minds even wider to receive the truth that is being spoken to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us that we would be zealous, loyal, or even fanatical Christians with one goal in mind, and that is to loyally please you at all times, in all places, among all peoples. So, Spirit, we pray that you would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a taste for the treasure of this, your sacred word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Point number two, the command Jesus gives to the church that he loves. Now listen, church family, Jesus has just told this church that he is on the way. He's coming soon. That's the blessing that he left them with the last commendation, the blessing of the fact that he is coming soon. So as a result of that, he's encouraging them to remain zealous, to stay fanatical, if you will, to remain loyal to their husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. So what do we do in the meantime while we wait for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we hold fast to what we have. That's what we do. We remain zealous. We remain fanatical. We remain loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's the command that Jesus gives his bride, the church. Not just the Church of Philadelphia, but the Church of Liberty Baptist right here in good old Thomasville, North Carolina. That's his command to us. Did you hear Jesus speak today? Amen? Some of you guys are going, what are you talking about, Pastor? I just read what Jesus said to you, that, and I asked, did you hear Jesus speak? Amen. You heard Jesus speak. He gave a command, not a suggestion. It's an imperative. He gave a command, hold fast what you have. Hold fast. Now's not the time to give up. Now's not the time to doubt. Now's not the time to take two steps backwards. Now's the time to take ground right here for the kingdom of God. We're in war, and we're called up by the commander to hold fast and keep doing what we know we're supposed to be doing. Hold fast. Sometimes it's hard to hold fast, isn't it? Things can get in our way. Problems can blind us. We can get distracted. And isn't it good to hear Jesus say, hold fast? Just to remind us. Just to remind us. You're on the right track. Don't fall off. Just keep going. Keep going. Keep doing what my word has told you to do. You know, I've seen Christians that's fallen off, haven't you? I've seen Christians that's pulled the reins up and sort of walking in circles, bewildered. And what I see in those Christians is some of the most miserable people on earth. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know what I'm talking about. They're just absolutely miserable. And that's because their faith has been weakened. Somehow God has disappointed them. He hadn't done what they think he should have done, so they're mad. And then after that, they become skeptics of the Lord. Well, if he didn't do this for me now, I'm not sure if he can do anything. And so they turn their back on the Lord. They're saved, and yet they're miserable. And you see, that's what happens when we take to the bench instead of get in the game and play. And not a single person in here is a bench warmer. Are you with me? You're not. Well, Pastor, I'm old. My knees hurt. So do mine. And I'm young old. Well, Pastor, I've done this all my life. It's someone else's turn. What? It's time for the next generation to come in and take over. What? Whatever the excuse is, whatever the way we have justified being a bench sitter, God's word here is reminding us today that none of us are. That all of us are called to active duty in the Lord's army. And to remain that way until we just can't, till we're physically unable or mentally unable, or he calls us home. He's saying, hold fast. Because being a mad, disappointed, skeptical Christian is no way to be a loyal Christian and live for the Lord. You just can't do it that way. Every Christian. Are you a Christian? Every Christian is meant to be a loyal Christian. You know, the Lord, this gets me, the Lord didn't give His life for us, for our salvation, so we can be mediocre, half-hearted, cowering Christians. Didn't do that. He gave everything so that we would then in turn give everything. Sometimes Christians, we just think that, I don't know, enough is enough, is good enough. Well, I did this, somebody else can do that. I've done my part, it's good enough. Let me say this one more time. Jesus didn't die and give His life on the cross so that He can raise up a bunch of mediocre, half-hearted, cowering Christians. Didn't do it. There's not a single person in here that I can see in the Bible that is a believer that says, you only need to serve the Lord half of the time. Do y'all see that in the Scriptures anywhere? I don't see it there. And yet, what do we do day in and day out? Right? Sunday's the Lord's day. Better yet, one person told me one time at 12 o'clock, Pastor, it's my time. You know, if I wasn't a pastor or Christian, I would probably curse him. You know, I think that every minute is sacred unto the Lord. Whether you're sitting here at church or whether you're at home or whether you're on the job or whether you're on vacation or whether you're at the restaurant, it all belongs to the Lord, and we're just given this time as a steward of it. Amen? Amen. You know, this church was a loyal church to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what He's telling them is to do this. He's saying, hold fast to your faith. Hold fast to those deeds that I've commended you for. He's telling them to hold fast to your obedience. Hold fast then to the Word so you know how to obey Me. And hold fast to the gospel. Keep speaking the good news. Jesus is saying, hold fast to the name, to My name. They were doing all those things. But He's saying, don't stop what you're doing. Hold fast to those things. And His promise, the blessing of His promise, hold fast to those things and I will preserve you and I will come back for you. So until I get here, keep holding fast to those things. The Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 1, verses 22 through 23 said this, wrote this to the Colossian church under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We must continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast and not move away from the hope of the gospel that we have heard. Jesus said to the church of Smyrna, be faithful unto death and I will give you the crown of life. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, we are reminded of those words right here in His instructions to the church of Philadelphia. Jesus said to the church of Philadelphia, now listen, He says, hold fast, keep doing what you're doing. Why? So that no one may seize your crown. The simple question to ask after that is, can somebody take my crown? Evidently they can. That's why He says, keep doing what you're doing, so that somebody else won't seize the prize that awaits you. Well, I don't want nobody to take my crown. Hallelujah. That's the first step in doing the right thing. Your walk's in the right direction. Now you just got to do something about it. You got to do something about it. And so here's the promise Jesus makes to the loyal Christian. You remain loyal, you hold fast, and no one will take your crown. That's what he says to us. And so if we fail to remain loyal to Christ, though, then we possibly could lose our crown. And I think maybe one of two ways that Jesus may be speaking of here. And the first is this. We need to ask ourselves, am I a true Christian? Am I a true Christian? You say, well, Pastor, I'm doing all the things that I'm supposed to be doing. Well, that's true, but let me read you about the explanation of two of the soils in the parable of the four soils. This is Jesus' explanation in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, and verses 20 and following. He says this, as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and then tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, and immediately he falls away. You lose your crown, you fall away. And then the other soil, verse 22, he says, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfaithful. And so if we don't hold fast, then just maybe we're not saved to begin with. That's the point I'm trying to make. And there's a difference, though, here, listen to me. There's a difference, though, between weak faith and fake faith. There's a big difference. I know my faith is not as strong as it needs to be, but I know it's true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the prayers we can pray is, Lord, help my faith. And when you pray that prayer, you're better to hold on. Because he'll help it, maybe in ways you don't want him to. So the second truth that may be that Jesus is talking about to those who could lose their crown is this. We're true Christians. We believe. And if we are, then the good news is we cannot lose our salvation, but we just might not get the reward we could have gotten because we backslide, because we fall off the gospel wagon, because other things become more important to us than loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we lose future reward when we yield to our persecutors, when people say they don't want to hear Jesus' name, when we yield to that, then we could possibly lose reward. When we fail to have deeds, when we fail to have works, when we deny the name of Jesus Christ, when we walk in disobedience, all those are ways that we can lose our crown. Not our salvation, but lose the reward that could have been ours. If we want the crown, then we must remain loyally faithful to the Lord. In the hard times, in the good times, when we're being tested, like this little church, we were saved not to be mediocre, weak faith, and baby Christians. We were saved to be holy Christians. And here's my question. Are we holding fast? That's the command. Hold fast. Are we doing that? You see, as the writer of Jude, I appeal to you to contend, that is to hold fast, for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Hold fast. Somebody says to a pastor, how long do I need to hold fast? Until you see it. Until I see what, Pastor? Until you see breaking on the horizon, heaven, or the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's our finish line. When either the Lord takes us home, or we see Him coming in the clouds. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. One thing, let me leave this point, this thought with you with this point. One day, the race will be over. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? Some of you aren't convinced yet. One day, the race will be over. Hallelujah? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. One day. One glorious day. And here's the deal. If we remain loyal today, holding fast, just think of the crown that will be awaiting us. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. God is good. Remember this. Blessing follows obedience. Point number three, the counsel Jesus gives the church he loves. Look with me in verses 12 and 13. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. Verse 13, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So in Jesus' counsel to the church of Philippi and to our church, the Lord, he gives three promises to those who remain loyal to him. The first promise is this, that a loyal Christian will have an eternal place of honor. Look with me in the first part of verse 12. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it. During these ancient times, when there were catastrophic events that would occur, sometimes the only things that would be left standing in a temple building were the columns or the pillars. Sometimes those would be the only thing standing. In the midst of storm, in the midst of unstable times, in the midst of a temporary home, sometimes when the going gets tough and things get shaken up, there's just remnants left standing. And that is a symbol of stability, of stability. It is a symbol that this thing has lasting power. And it's a symbol of honor to that which stands after the storm. And in the same way, the Lord Jesus is saying here, when he said, I will make you a pillar in the temple of my God, he's saying, I will give you a place of honor in my house, as you remain steadfast and true and steady in the face of opposition, a place of honor. How does that sound for you? A place of honor in the eternal kingdom. That's what he promises to those who remain loyal. Secondly, here we see this, that loyal Christians will have an eternal city to call home. Look with me in the second part of verse 12. It says this, I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the name Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven. All these statements, my God, of my God, of my God, in the genitive, so in possession here. Where does all this stuff come from? Where does this promise come from? My God, my Father. And so one day, one theologian said, everybody's going to have a tattoo. No, it ain't so, Pastor. Well, I mean, look at the scriptures. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven. So one day, we're going to have Jerusalem written on us, the name of our God. Amen? The city of God. You say, I'll never get a tattoo. Well, you better take this one. Amen? Now, the next question is, where are you going to get it? Pastor, you're going to meddling now. Don't ask me where I'm going to get my tattoo. I'm going to get it where it hurts the least. I don't know about y'all, but all joking aside, those who receive the name of God and the name of the city of God are given a new citizenship, a new home, and it's an everlasting home, and it is a permanent home. We'll be forever safe, we'll be forever secure, we'll be forever at peace. And one of my favorite things about this is we'll be forever sinless. There will be a time where we do not have to confess our sins and repent in our new home. Hallelujah. You know how we'll know who belongs there? Because it'll be written on them. It'll be written on them. Praise the Lord. There's a song that goes this way. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. And praises to the great I am, we will live in the light of the risen Lamb. One day, we're going to get to Revelation chapter 21. And then we're going to look at the New Jerusalem and see how it's described and dig deep into that. But for now, just know that this is not our home, and we will be given an eternal home one day. Praise the Lord. It's going to be wonderful. The final promise that we have here from the counsel of the Lord Jesus is this, that loyal Christians will not only have a place of honor, not only will they have an eternal city to call home, but they will also have an eternal new name. The last part of verse 12 says this, and my own new name, that is, that name will be tattooed on the believer. This eternal name will be Christ's new name, and everyone there will have his name. Picture this. Traditionally in marriage, it is the bride who takes the name of the husband, and in heaven, the bride will take the name of the husband. And you will be known by that new name. Truly, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He will be our King, and we will be His people forever. And the Holy Spirit caps it off with these words, He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Listen to this counsel, because all the pain, all the suffering we have for the sake of the name of Jesus Christ will someday go away and it will fade. And in comparison to the utter joy that we're going to experience in eternity, it will mean next to nothing to us. Well, whatever the cost to us for being zealous, fanatical, loyal Christians to the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever that cost is, it's worth it, church family. Amen? It's worth it. Heaven awaits. Well, that's it for the Church of Philadelphia. We have one more church to look at, and we'll start that next week. But before we do that, let me close with just a little story here. Since we've been talking a little bit about heaven, I want to close with that thought, with this message. And I may have shared this story with you before. I try to write down when I share stories with you so I don't do it too often. But thankfully, most of you guys have short memories, so you don't really remember anyway. But, right, I'm just as bad. I have those moments where I forget why I came in here. So, one lovely moonlit night, a grandfather and his small granddaughter went for a walk. The stars were magnificent, and as the grandfather named individual stars and constellations, the little granddaughter exclaimed with enthusiasm, "Grandpa, just think, if the bottom side of heaven is this beautiful, how wonderful the top side must be." We have no idea. We have no idea how good heaven will be. We have no idea. So today, in preparation for the goodness of God, live in the sunlight. Live in the sunshine. I am living in the sunshine of my Savior's blessed face, and He fills my happy spirit with the richness of His grace. Every trial and temptation unto Him I take to prayer, and the sweetness of His presence gilds with light each earthly care. Blessed Jesus, walk beside me, guide my footsteps all the way. Lead me through life's weary journey to the realms of endless day. I'm living in the sunshine, living in the sunshine. Blessed sunshine of His face, walking daily in His footsteps, fully trusting in His grace. Church family, let's do our best to be loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the wonderful message of Your Word that just gives us so much hope to endure and to hold fast in the midst of hard times and persecution. So Lord, help us to remember Your Word. Help us to hide it in our heart that we might not sin against You, but that we will walk in the glory of Your sunlight. In Jesus' name, amen.